Appreciate all of, you know, three of you sharing. Great. That's the lesson tonight. Amen. Any questions? But I wanted to put you in a place of, you know, just thinking about this whole idea of forgiveness. And I like how I think Darcella talked about it. You know, when you think about God's forgiveness versus the world's forgiveness, it's really two different things. And so tonight, what I want us to do is to look into what the scriptures say about forgiveness and what real, true forgiveness is. And so, and that's the reality, is that because of our fallen nature, as I mentioned before, we do hurt each other. Right, we do offend each other, even within the body of Christ. And the scriptures, you know, talk about that. And so we need to learn, we need to understand, and we need to grow in our forgiveness. And so how do we do that? Well, I'm going to give you one big, broad statement, and I'll have a couple things underneath that, and then we'll dig into the scriptures and see how these things are talked about in the Bible. So I think the most important aspect of forgiveness for us, if we're going to be forgiving people, is to have a clear picture of our identity in Christ. And here's what I mean by that. Number one, we need to realize how much we have been forgiven by our Father. And that's such an important part of our identity in Christ. Number two, then we forgive others in the same way we have been forgiven. Right, and it's all contingent upon our seeing our identity in Christ. So Matthew 6, I'm going to read 9 through 15, the Lord's Prayer. A lot we could break down in the Lord's Prayer, but I wanted to start there because it does talk a lot about forgiveness. Jesus models for us how to pray and ask for forgiveness. So Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15, it says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So, you know, the disciples come to Jesus and they ask him, "Hey, teach us how to pray." And so, of course, he gives them this model prayer. And look at how he begins. He says, in the beginning, he says, "Our Father in heaven." So what they've done first is that they've identified God as their Father in heaven. But what they're also doing is they're identifying themselves, or we are identifying ourselves as we're praying, as children of God. That's how the whole prayer begins. So, you know, mentions a few different things there. And then in verse 12, it says, "And forgive us our debts," or "forgive us our sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors," or those that have sinned against us. And so we've got to see how intimately connected our receiving forgiveness from God is based on our forgiving of other people. It's something that God is very concerned with. And Jesus, at the end of the prayer, and this is something that strikes me as so interesting and needs to alert us to, wow, this is really important. In verse 14, so he's finished the model prayer. He could have said a lot of different things about the prayer. You know, hallowed be your name. You know, provide for us. Lead us not into temptation. But look at what he focuses on in verse 14. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And I love the way that he starts with the positive, right? Hey, if you forgive, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And so a lot of different things that we could talk about with that, but one thing that it makes me think of is how serious God is about forgiveness, right? Making sure that we understand, hey, our forgiveness comes from God. It comes through Christ. And we are fully forgiven as disciples. But of course, you know, we continue to ask for that forgiveness. But we also need to see again that It's so, that is so tied to, it's so bound up in our ability to forgive other people. And I believe that a big reason for that is that we as disciples are representatives of Christ. And so as other people experience our forgiveness and see our forgiveness within the community of God, they can see a glimpse of God's forgiveness as well. And I believe that's one of the reasons why this is so important. And so when you go over to Matthew 18, we get another, I mean, this is a gem of a parable, right? All the parables are gems, but this is a gem of a parable that talks specifically about forgiveness. And Jesus, in all his brilliance, conveys so, you know, amazingly forgiveness from God and how we need to forgive as well. So we're going to, I'll read a couple verses, I'll teach a little bit on it, I'll read a couple verses, I'll teach a little bit more, and then I'll have an illustration for you and some closing thoughts. Okay, so Matthew 18, 21 through 27. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." So, of course, you know, Peter comes to Jesus and he's thinking, okay, seven times considered the, you know, perfect number, that's got to be enough. I mean, that's above and beyond what anybody else would suggest, right? Seven times, that's a lot. So should I forgive seven times? And, of course, Jesus responds, no, it's not enough. Not seven times, but 77 times. And of course, Jesus is not giving a, you know, a legalistic, hey, 77 times, man, and then 78 times, forget it, that guy's done. He's saying you can just continue to forgive. But I love the way that Peter asked the question. I think this is important for us back to this whole identity thing. Because he goes, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister?" So now, Peter's asking in the context of, okay, brother or sister, family. What kind of family is he talking about? Spiritual family. So he's identifying himself as a child of God, within God's spiritual family. And that's really, again, I believe the place to begin when we think about forgiveness. So then in verse 23, he goes on, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like this." And so Jesus is laying out the parable. This isn't a story that actually happened, although it could have, but he's saying it's like this in the kingdom of God in terms of forgiveness. It's like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Wow, that stinks. Could you imagine being in that situation? Right? Servant owed the king 10,000 bags of gold or 10,000 talents. And so, just to put it in perspective, and you can probably see the footnotes in your Bible, but one talent was worth 20 years of a day laborer's wages. So there's a lot of different ways that we can calculate this, but one way to think about it is the servant could have paid off the king in 200,000 years. It would have taken him 200,000 years of working to be able to pay back this king. So this guy's in some, I mean, talk about some debt issues, right? Obviously, he didn't take Nelson's money management class, okay? He had accumulated some debt. And this is just a side note, but Katie and I were talking about this on the way up, and I'm like, man, what did he do in that short period of time, seemingly, to accumulate that much debt? And so Katie goes, "I don't think it's a real story." And I was like, "I know it's a parable, but I'm just saying, like, it's just, I don't know, it just had me thinking about it." But anyway, so this guy was in serious debt. But the connection for us here that we need to see is that we need to put ourselves in the parable, right? So who's the king? Well, the king is God. Who's the servant? That's us, right? And so let's look at how this king, or how God, responds to a situation like this. "At this, the servant fell on his knees before him." Another way to translate that is he worshiped him. Says, "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Now, just Let that sink in a little bit, right? Many of us have read this parable so many times, over and over again. We know what happens. We know that, okay, yep, he's asking for forgiveness here, and he cancels the debt. But, I mean, think about that, though. This insurmountable debt, 200,000 years, he would have had to work to pay this off. He falls on his knees. He begs him, so he realizes, right, I'm in a hopeless situation. I'll pay back everything. And then it says the master took pity on him. Another way to translate that is he had compassion on him. We talked about compassion last week, right? But this is God, right? This is God with us when we come to him and we ask him and we beg him, please forgive us. And then he just cancels the debt, right? Just cancels the debt. It's as if it didn't exist. And just lets him go. Cancels the debt. That is forgiveness, right? No matter what the debt, just cancel the debt. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That is the forgiveness of God. And so, in our realization and understanding of that, that necessitates a response, right? A certain response from an understanding of that kind of forgiveness. So let's see what the servant does. Continuing on in the text. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. Now that sounds familiar, doesn't it? But when he refused, instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. And we'll get back to that in a second. So the servant goes on. He's been forgiven. I mean, this amazing experience. He goes on and he finds someone that owes him essentially pennies to what he had owed the king. Right, I mean, it's such a, it's like you can't even compare them. And he tells the man to pay him back, and the man responds in the same way that he responded, right? Be patient with me, I'll pay everything back. And here's the mind-blowing thing about this parable. And we've got to see these, you know, these occurrences in the parables. When we see like an amazing moment, a shocking moment, it needs to clue us into, okay, here's the point of the parable. But look what he does, right? It says that the servant had the man thrown in prison. So a very different response than what we see from the king. And, you know, there's probably a lot of different ways that we could talk about this in terms of why he responded the way he did. But I believe that he didn't really connect with his being forgiven, right? And have that really become a part of who he was and embrace that part of his identity as being forgiven. So then the text continues. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And this is the, you know, I don't know, it's kind of scary actually when you think about it, but in verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So in one sense, it can be scary, but in another sense, it's like, well, this is how God is with us. And so let's, you know, turn around and pay that forward. So the lesson of the story is that in order to forgive, we've got to connect with our own forgiveness that we have received from our Father and embraced our identity as forgiven. And remember, forgiving is canceling the debt, right? When we feel hurt, I mean, I experience this. When I feel hurt, when I feel somebody has offended me, my immediate response is, you owe me, Right? You owe me an apology. You owe me this. You owe me that. That's my natural response. And I'm not saying that an initial response like that, you know, is wrong in and of itself. A lot of times we have to work to the place where we can cancel the debt. But that is, in essence, what forgiveness is all about. So I wanted to read to you just a couple other passages, and then I'll have some closing thoughts. So in Ephesians 4, verse 32, it says this. We read this one, the beginning part of this last week. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And then we see something very similar in Colossians 3, verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. You know, right now in our parenting, we're working on forgiveness with our girls. And, you know, the scenario is often somebody upsets somebody else, somebody takes somebody's toy, somebody breaks down somebody's logo or Lego construction is the latest thing. Somebody gets upset, there's crying, there's tears, there's, you know, arguing oftentimes back and forth. Then they come to us and we say, okay, after some investigating, what happened? So what was the situation? And so then we go back and we say, okay, this is what happened. Is that what you did? Yes. Okay, are you sorry? Say you're sorry. I'm sorry. And then, you know, okay, do you forgive? Yeah, say you forgive them. Okay, hug. And then, you know, continue on. Right? If they, you know, if it just were all that simple, right? And of course, they're not at a developmental level to, you know, really understand forgiveness and what that means, but I think that there are just some important lessons in there. But here's the thing. This is what amazes me about children, is that once that all is done, and I mean, I'm talking, there could be tears and people on the ground and just noises everywhere and just uproar in the house. Once that process happens, it's a done deal, right? They are done with it. They are moving on. They're building together. They're happy. It's like it didn't even happen. I mean, it just, it blows my mind. But you know what? That I can learn from that, right? We need to learn from that. I mean, for us as Christians, we need to see ourselves and understand that we are forgiven people. I mean, that is, in essence, such an intimate part of who we are as disciples. And so we've got to connect with our own insurmountable debt that our Father, through His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, canceled completely, totally, fully canceled. I mean, I don't always think about that, honestly. I don't, and sometimes I can look back on my life prior to being a Christian, and I'm, you know, I'm just being honest. I can feel like, you know, I mean, I was a good person, and I did some of these things that were nice things for people, and you know, I'm not saying that we should, you know, completely reject those things, but we've got to connect with our past as being, hey, I was a sinner. I had a huge debt that I owed God. And through Jesus Christ and me, you know, connecting with Christ and trusting in Christ and repenting and being baptized, all that is gone. I mean, as far as the east is from the west, that's the canceling of that debt. And so for us, we've got to view the hurts, the offenses, the debts from others in the light of that reality. Yeah. I mean, that's how we move forward in forgiveness. Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying that, you know, we just need to rush into getting over our hurts right away. Sometimes those hurts take a long time to process. But being hurt and forgiving, they're not exactly the same thing, right? We can still be hurt by a situation, but extend forgiveness to somebody and continue to process and work through that hurt. And so the hurt takes work, but forgiveness sometimes takes work too. And I'm not saying we should I'm just rushing right into forgiveness. Sometimes that takes some time as well. And so we need to work through that. But Jesus shows us the way to work through that. And that's through that understanding of who we are as forgiven in Christ. And so I wanted to just take a minute to talk about our life groups as we think about this whole concept of forgiveness and dealing with hurts and offenses and so on. You know, our life groups, as I've been talking about, are going to be these, you know, small groups, 5 or 6 people of disciples where we're together and we're working through things in our lives and we're trying to grow spiritually. I mean, that is the goal. We are trying to be better Christians. We're trying to be more Christ-like, and we're doing that through our one another relationships in these life groups. And so our life groups need to be places where we can talk about our hurts, where we can talk about our offenses and things that happen within the body, but also things that just happen to us in life. And so that requires a level of vulnerability, right? But these are going to be safe places. They need to be safe places where we can talk through these things and process these things. Opportunity to work through wounds, to process things, and to see our own forgiveness and help each other to forgive. It's not easy work, right? Even the vulnerability piece, that's not an easy thing for all of us to do right up front. So it's going to take some time, but the goal is that being a safe place where we can talk through these things, where people can remind us of our own forgiveness and help us work to a place where we can extend forgiveness to other people. And so what I want us to do for these last just couple of minutes, and then I'll close out, is I want all of us to take just a couple of minutes to connect with the debt that we had, that we owed God, and that was forgiven by Christ. Okay, so I want you to, and there's a couple things you could do. If you want to journal through this, you can do that. If you have paper, you can do that. If you want to write it out on your phone, or you can just, you know, close your eyes as we did last week and just imagine as I'm describing this to you. So either of those ways will work, but I want to take you through a little visualization exercise. Okay, so I want you to imagine who you were before knowing Christ. Okay, who were you before knowing Christ? I want you to connect with this, the mess that we had created in our lives, the evil aspect of our nature, the darkness, the lostness that identified who we were. And I want you to imagine, and you can, you know, think through, you know, some of the things that you had done that had stacked up this debt, that had contributed to this insurmountable debt that you had before God. And now I want you to envision, you know, being in that space, being in that place, the destiny that you had at that point, being part of the kingdom of darkness, headed for destruction. And now, I want you to imagine yourself in this tunnel of darkness. And in that tunnel of pitch black darkness, can't see the end. Through that tunnel comes a beam of light. And as your eyes were drawn to that light, and as you're walking forward, that light gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And this is the process of you learning about Christ, of coming to know Him, of Him coming into your life and realizing that all of His suffering, all of His agony, all of Him on the cross, the blood that was shed, His body that was broken, was done so that you could enter into that light. That you didn't have to suffer all that He suffered. Even though that's what you deserve, you walked towards Christ. You started to change your ways. You began repenting and continued in that process. And you had people in your life helping you. And God was helping you along the way, moving you closer and closer to Christ. And then you fully entered Him as you entered the waters of baptism. And as you came up out of those waters, you arose a new person. And all the debt, all the sin, all the mess was removed from you as far as the east is from the west. And just remember that feeling, that experience of being fully forgiven by God through Christ. Okay, you can open your eyes. I'm going to close this out with prayer, and then we'll be dismissed for tonight. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that You're here with us now and that You hear our prayer. God, it says in Your word that where two or more are gathered in Your name, You are here with us. And God, Your presence is such a gift. And tonight, as we think about forgiveness, as we reflect on the people that we were, and now connect with the people that we are now because of Jesus, God, fully forgiven, help us to just embrace our forgiveness. God, help us to never forget our forgiveness and who we are as disciples of Jesus. And as we go out from here, God, I pray that not only will we remember that, but that we would be so eager to pay that forward, to forgive others, God, to cancel the debt. God, teach us, help us. Help us to understand how to forgive just as You have forgiven us. God, we love You. We thank You. Again, I'm grateful for tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You are dismissed.